There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Another hour of live local talk in the phone and text hotline for you, 343-0106. Also, we'll get an update from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams here in just a little bit. Thunderstorms, there's some in Baldwin County, some in Mobile County right now. It's not the entire counties, but it's going to be off and on throughout this afternoon. But more details coming up at around 1:35. All right, we mentioned this hour number two in this discussion. I'm excited to have. Well, I'm glad we're having this. I wish we weren't having this conversation, but this is a real thing, and we need to learn more about it. I am excited to have on Supervisory Special Agent with the FBI, Paul Dye, to talk with us about hacking, ransomware, all these things that have been populating our news stories as of late. Paul, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sean. Happy to be here.
And okay, like as we were talking during the news break, I'm just Googling, and there's like more stories like every day, and I don't think I'm overstating that. It seems like you give it a day and there's a hacking story out there.
Yeah, it seems like a never ending wave that just sort of continues to build, and it reflects what we're seeing on the law enforcement side as well. You know, as we move to just our lives become more digital, that creates vulnerabilities for threat actors, bad guys, criminals, whatever term you want to use. To victimize us. And so I think part of what you're seeing is maybe a growing awareness of that fact. It is not news to us, and it's not news to our law enforcement and United States intelligence community partners. You know, we've known that these threats have been growing for a long time. But, you know, obviously the headlines in the last couple of months have really brought it to the forefront. But, you know, an overall trend. We are moving toward more of our lives in the digital realm, and that creates fantastic opportunities for us, but it does create a lot of vulnerabilities.
Yeah. I wondered, you know, what was the old Bonnie and Clyde? You know, why do you rob banks? That's where the money is. And I guess these days online, that's where the money is, or that's where the opportunity is.
Definitely. And if you think about, you know, from the perspective, particularly of a criminal actor who, they can be overseas, and so they have, depending on where they are, very little consequences for breaking U.S. law. And then the costs of a lot of the sort of phishing campaigns, and we can talk about what phishing is in a little bit if you want, but the cost of doing a phishing campaign is next to nothing. How much does it cost to send an email?
Right.
It's free, you know, and so so many of these schemes are sort of cheap and easy to pull off, and it is where the money is.
Yeah, and I want to get to the different methods, but this overall, this is going to, somebody does this every day like you, you're going to roll your eyes when I ask it, but I got to. Who's doing this? I mean, who is it? Everybody and anybody? Is it, you know, how much of this is, we talk about, is it a state-sponsored or at least a state not in for, you know what I'm saying? How much are they working for a government? How much are they just getting protection from a government? How much is from individuals or kids in the basement? Who is it?
Well, so yes. So it's, I think maybe the best way to think about this is, you know, a continuum, you know, where we have, you know, on one side, you've got, you know, cyber criminals who may be selling their services to either other cyber criminals or to nation states. And those, the ones that are selling their services are going to be they're the true hackers. They're really, they're unfortunately good at what they do. And so, you know, you kind of have them on one side, and then on another side of the continuum, you have, you know, some nation-state actors, some of whom might be, some individuals might be moonlighting and treating it as a side hustle. They're using the skills that they have picked up, you know, as maybe potentially government employees of other governments, and they're using that to sort of make money on the side. And then, you know, we also have, you know, nation-states occasionally using what tools that we traditionally associate with criminal actors. So, I mean, it does run a continuum and a spectrum. And, you know, I think a lot of folks have maybe a misconception that, you know, the cyber actor is the bad guy in a basement somewhere who is good with the ones and zeros. And that is true. There is some of that. But then there are a lot of malicious tools that cyber actors can simply buy off the shelf, and it doesn't take a high level of sophistication to employ those successfully sometimes. So it is a large continuum, we do see a lot of our the malicious actors in the cyber realm are overseas, which obviously presents a challenge for us jurisdictionally at times.
And that, you know, that brings up another question, Paul, to me that, okay, some of those actors overseas, they're doing that, how you get your hands on them, but it's not all zeros and ones, like you said. I hear certain stories where the idea is that the ransomware or whatever that led to the hack, and we'll get to phishing in a second, but even came in the real world, physically through a thumb drive or somebody putting something into a system, like there was an actual physical touch into the network to get in there. I mean, that's part of this too, right?
I would say happens. The vast majority of ransomware infections in particular, that it's not coming from that. I mean, we would look at that maybe more as like an insider threat, where mm-hmm. you have an employee potentially who is disgruntled, wants to take action against their employer, or is recruited by either a criminal enterprise or someone else to employ a malicious software on the network from the position of an insider.
Or unknowingly, right? I mean, somebody could do it unknowingly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember something that I learned at the Citizens Academy. I mean, that there's sometimes you got to check what kind of thumb drives or whatever you're using for your company, because there was a case, I think, of there being, people bought these things new from some vendor from out of the country, and they looked like regular thumb drives, but they already had the malware on there, the ransomware.
Mm-hmm. And we tend to refer to those folks as sort of accidental insider threats. And those are the worst kind, frankly. Where you do have someone who is unknowingly rolling something out on your network. And if you think about it, when you click on a link thinking it's legitimate, you become that accidental mm-hmm. insider threat as well. And that really is sort of the biggest vector.
Okay. So that's the majority, through some sort of phishing or something, because people sometimes, I think, get the movie idea that there's somebody desperately typing quickly on a keyboard trying to figure out passwords and get in that way. And that seems to not be the majority of these, right? It's something that I clicked or you clicked or somebody at the office, you know, downloaded.
I think for the average person, average business owner, that is the situation. It's very unlikely that you are specifically being targeted. It's not outside the realm of possibility, but it's much more likely it's part of a more widespread campaign, you know, where, to use a fishing analogy, we have, you know, you have a lot of hooks in the water, and most of those are not going to catch a fish, but you don't need to catch all of them.
Right. You said there's no cost to this, you know, in de minimis cost to blanket out there. So I mean, give me something here. There's a lot of folks listening to you that say, okay, well, we know that threat's out there. FBI is working on it. Other groups working on it. What am I supposed to be doing here? How am I going to keep from getting hooked?
Well, so from the ransomware perspective, I think that's a good place to start. You know, that's one of the most important things that an individual or a business owner can do is have robust offline backups, so that if you do fall victim to a ransomware attack, or if your server just dies, whatever, you are able to recreate your data from a safe and secure location. And sort of one corollary to that, you know, we always recommend that not only do you have good backups, but that you test them to make sure they work. So when you find yourself on a terrible day where your network goes down or is encrypted, that's not the time to find out that your backups are not sufficient. Another sort of key area where your small businesses and IT folks should focus is on making sure that all your software, both your operating system and all the applications that are running on your computer are up to date. And you know, we all get these sort of Windows updates if you're a Windows user.
It's a pain.
Yeah, it's
a pain, Paul.
To restart your machine.
Yeah.
But it is 100% vital that you update those things, because old software is an open invitation for malicious actors. Because the older a piece of software, an unpatched piece of software is, the more widespread, frankly, its known vulnerabilities become. And you're just making it easy. The older your software and the less updated it is, you're making it easier day by day for malicious actors to attack your systems.
So what about, we get those updated, but what about looking through emails? Here they come, right? People get hundreds of emails a day. Click here. Here's an invoice. We need to update this, that, and the other. How do they pick through all that and find the one that's a fraud?
I think the other way to look at it is, how do I find the one that's real?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, I will tell you, there are some businesses that will actually test their employees. They teach them, do not click on links from senders that you don't know. Do not open attachments from senders that you don't know. Don't open attachments that you're not expecting. You get a random invoice from a company that you're not doing business with. Don't open that invoice. If in your business you have an IT staff, that's maybe one you want to flag for your IT person of hey, this is borderline, could be legitimate. Can you scan it for me? Can you take a look at it? Because, you know, what folks who are sending us these phishing emails, what they're counting on is us sort of through rote memory or just sort of routine or maybe fatigue or whatever, our guard being down. And so you see that email come in with an invoice and it says it's overdue, and you think, oh, I got to pay it. I got to get on that right now. And you click on it. And, you know, you're down. At that point, you've probably downloaded something malicious to your system. Maybe your antivirus will catch it. Maybe your spam filter or whatever will weed some of that stuff out. But at the end of the day, the weakest part of the system is usually us. It's the user. And so just a high level of suspicion is warranted when it comes to email, especially email that comes with attachments.
Yep, and I think that having that suspicion, I think I use the, when I talk to my parents, I say, assume everything is baloney and find the thing that's not in there to click on. If just joining us, talking to a supervisory special agent with the FBI, Paul Dye, talking about cybersecurity out there. A lot of great text here. Keith asks, does the FBI use hackers? Do y'all have people that are hacking on your end?
Our authorities are limited by U.S. law, and so so generally, no. The answer to that would be a no. We are only authorized to do what specific United States federal courts authorize us to do, and generally speaking, hacking is not one of those things.
Let's see here. The Supermom asking, is it just me or the phone phishing text or text getting out of hand? Is there more coming to people's phones, I guess, in the form of a text message?
So I don't have any specific numbers to say that it's better or worse than it has been, but that is something that we have seen in Alabama. You may have seen a presentation on this, Sean, at Citizens Academy. We've done this in the past where we had an SMS phishing text scheme. They call it smishing, throw words together,
right.
Where a particular financial institution in Alabama was, they were the, sort of the vector is not even the right word, but a mass text went out to many people with the 334 area code, which is Alabama, of course, and it referenced, you know, your bank account at a particular institution, and many people clicked on it. And within a half an hour, a malicious actor in another state was was using those people's login credentials to create debit cards and steal money from their accounts. So, I mean, the level of suspicion that we talk about applying to emails goes double for text.
Well said. Can you hold on over the news break?
Yes, sir.
All right, coming right back. We're more with Paul Dime from the FBI talking about cybersecurity and what they're doing every day to fight criminals online. We'll do that more when we return. Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. My guest, supervisory special agent with the FBI, Paul Dye, talking about ransomware, cybercrime. I mean, is there a what's the overall term you use for all this stuff?
We generally just call it cybercrime.
Okay. It has its different facets. The ones that have been of note recently, ransomware. And I mean, we're talking about when they start hitting energy supplies and my hamburger supply, they've got a lot of people's attention. But this stuff goes on every day with smaller companies.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it can be, it's hard to understate the effects on small and medium sized businesses when this sort of thing happens.
It's huge. Yeah. I mean, and there's to the point that, you know, you talk about having backups of your information, and you got to do that. But then, you know, even people are buying insurance policies against this as well because they feel like this is something that could happen.
Yeah, and that, unfortunately, has become maybe something of a cost of doing business for a lot of companies. But, I mean, you are wise to have that sort of coverage, or at least to consider it, because it can help you with not only the long-term effects on your business, but also sort of the short-term costs of having to pay someone to potentially rebuild your network, re-image your machines, that sort of thing. And that's even if you have your backups. And one thing we haven't touched on, but people always want to know about paying the ransom.
That was my next question. So, yes, let's get – what is the FBI's opinion? Do we pay the ransom?
So, all right, so generally speaking, the FBI does not advise paying ransom for a couple of reasons. And one of them is obvious. If you pay ransom, you're encouraging further ransomware attacks because you're creating incentives for additional people to get into the ransomware scheme. Another thing that you want to consider when making this decision is, you are potentially paying for illicit activities that you have no potential understanding of. If we don't know who the bad actors are on the other side of this, or if you as the ransomware victim don't know, you could be funding, you're definitely funding international crime. You could be funding nation states that are actively working against the interests of the United States. So, for those reasons, we advise against paying ransomware. But even if, your company does elect to pay the ransom, we still want to hear from companies if they're hit by by ransomware, because we are not without tools that could potentially help the situation.
Well, and that's what my other part of that question that helps with maybe our specific case. But is there any value in us reporting this? Like the power company, if they hear from one person says their power out, but if you've got 20 people, now they're sending the truck out there. I mean, is it important for us to report that we got, ransomware or hacked?
Absolutely. It can be important for you as a specific victim, and it can be important for the U.S. government and our law enforcement efforts against these actors just as a whole. We can gather all types of information and intelligence from maybe how your particular system was hacked and the particular characteristics of the malware variant that you're dealing with. And we can, at times, potentially help you. We may be able to provide you with indicators of additional infection or compromise, things that, if we've seen this particular variant, we could potentially advise you or your IT staff on, here are things to look for, here are maybe some potential ways that the bad guys got in, that, back doors that you want to close, that sort of thing. Okay. And we generally ask folks to report those either by calling their local field office, or we have the Internet Crime Complaint Center, which is ic3.gov. You know, one way or the other, we ask folks to report those incidents. And I should note, you know, we are very, very cautious and discreet with the information that folks provide us through IC3 and through just talking to us. You'll notice we don't talk about individual cases. We don't talk about individual victims. And so your information, when it comes to us, stays secure and stays discreet.
That is good. Once again, that website?
That's the letter I, the letter C, the number 3.gov.
Very good. As we work through this, we may be calling you more times throughout the year, but Paul, we appreciate the update from you today.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, Paul Dye, Supervisory Special Agent with the FBI, and a primer on everything going on out there. And just, you know what? Like you said, I think the best thing is just be suspicious of everything before you click on anything. All right, we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. I'll be talking to VP of Publicity for the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Mark Chambeau joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, online at fmtalk1065.com. Also, Facebook, fantastic Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. Remember, check out our Facebook page, too, for details on our Let Freedom Ring contest. Very exciting. $3,000 plus in prizes. One of y'all is going to win, plus some qualifying gifts. Check out the details on the Facebook page, where you register, how you win, all that good stuff. And make sure you get your name in there daily. All right? And hopefully it'll be you that gets drawn right here before Independence Day, and you're a big winner. And yeah, I am looking into the month of July, and I can't look into the month of July without thinking about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and the week before, the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. And like that, boom, I look up, and there's VP of Publicity with the rodeo, Mark Chambeau, in studio. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. I want to talk about a couple things here first as we get started. Ticket sales. People asked me last time you're on, and they're like, what's the deal on tickets? So let me... What's the deal on tickets, Mark?
So tickets will be going on sale Father's Day weekend. So we have about a week and a half. They're going to be going on sale. We have a lot of outlets around Mobile and Baldwin County, as well as online. So you can go to adsfr.com, or you can go to the Fish and Chaos app. Again, we have Mobile County. We've got Academy Sports, two locations here in Mobile, Greer's Market in Fowl River, Howland Associates Insurance Agency, Quint Sporting Goods, Pronto Pond and Theodore, Tackle This, Shoot That. And, of course, in Baldwin County, we have J&M Tackle and the Academy Sports over in Foley.
All right. And also through the website, like you said.
Yes.
Let's talk about last year to kind of frame this for this year. Last year, we fished. We didn't party.
Yeah, correct.
Right. Right. I mean, that's kind of because growing up, it was, you know, it's about the fishing, and then there was a party that went on, and then y'all, the JCs, y'all turned this into a music festival and just a fun time. At the same time, it's the world's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament, which Guinness says, right?
Yes.
It's official.
Yeah.
But y'all turned it into a heck of a party, too. So last year, the fishing, I went through, I fish like I do every year, but yeah, a lot of people miss the music and the camaraderie and all that going on.
Yeah, we did the best we could last year.
Yeah, COVID.
Yeah, we held on as long as we could. We really, really tried to make it happen, but just the way things were, you know, it didn't work out. So, of course, we wanted to have something. You know, the rodeo has been going on since 1929. We've only had a few instances where we haven't had a rodeo, and that's because of World War and the oil spill.
Yeah.
So other than that, you know, we do our best to have a tournament. So last year, you know, we were able to have the tournament. You know, people could go out in the water. They could be out in the open air atmospheres. And but we just didn't want to give them a reason to congregate, which is why we had to, unfortunately, not have the music, not have the fish box and the liars contest and all those great fun things that we normally have. We just weren't able to have those.
This year?
Everything.
So what folks love, yes, is starting off, and it is, we could actually back it up to the weekend before with the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, but for Big Rodeo Weekend, yeah, it starts with that Liars Contest. That's an important part of just enjoying the whole rodeo.
It is, and this year is something a little special. So, you know, we've always had the Liars Contest. We've had a lot of people that always participate. We have had a longtime member and a multi-year winner, Captain T-Bone, who, you know, unfortunately passed away last year. And he's been a
true classic, that man.
He has been. And he's been a really big part of the Liars Contest for us for many years. A very good entertainer and great stories. And in honor of him, this year we're renaming the Liars Contest to the Captain T-Bone's Liars Contest.
Excellent.
Which this year is going to be presented by Huck.
That is fantastic. And people, if you've been at the Liars Contest, you know exactly who Mark and I are talking about. So that starts off Big Rodeo Weekend. But let me back up to the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. That's still on for the kids. We're good?
Most definitely, yes.
So this is a chance. Y'all, not only do I tell this story, and this is not official because we weren't in competition, but taking my nephews, one of my nephews, my eldest nephew, when he was young, he wanted to keep the croaker in a Ziploc bag full of water. Mm. Now, instead of coming up there and telling him, boy, you can't do that, this and that, wasn't a competitive croaker. Y'all weighed that croaker in the Ziploc bag full of water, plus, and he got his participation, and we got to have our hot dog and our chips and all that stuff. Y'all treat that. It's really good because, I mean, y'all are ambassadors for fishing at that point. And that's just one anecdote, but y'all do it right.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, the whole theory is the whole thing, but with Roy Martin and what he wanted was to encourage participation amongst, you know, young anglers, young children to get out into fishing, to teach them good sportsmanship. So that's really what it is about. You know, anyone 15 years and younger can come out, they can fish, they can weigh any fish that they want. we do have specific really categories good. That you can win.
But you want to just bring something up to weigh, they will entertain y'all. The kids, I mean, the kids feel like a star when they get to weigh something.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've worked the weigh station many years. When those kids come up and they have this fish, however large or small, very, very proud of it, and we definitely make the best time for them out of that.
Yeah, that's a big part of getting them excited about coming back next year, whether they're coming back to fish or Roy Martin or the big rodeo. So that's a big thing that starts off. Then we got Big Rodeo Weekend. You mentioned last year y'all had to do what you had to do because of COVID, but this year entertainment's back. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the music and fun.
Yeah, so talking about the Liars Contest, so we're going to have that starting around 6:30 Thursday afternoon. Following the Liars Contest will be our first act, will be Yellowhammer featuring Jake Peavy.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have a theme this year. It's going to be Reeling in the Years. Good. So kind of play on fishing, but also has a purpose. We're going to have different decades of music. So we're going to have 70s, 80s, and 90s all throughout the weekend. Thursday night, Yellowhammer featuring Jake Peavy will be our 70s band. They'll be playing some 70s amongst probably a few other things. And Friday night, a fan favorite, which is the Molly Ringwalds.
Y'all about sink the island when you do that.
Yeah. It's always a great time. They put on a fantastic show. We're going to have that big screen behind them with all the lights, and it's going to be a good time. And then on Saturday, we're going to have a 90s country band, Mustache the Band.
Mustache the Band, okay.
Oh, yeah, they play a bunch of 90s country hits. So, and all music is free. Come on down. Just come on and have a good time.
And by the way, if y'all have not, we speak like there's people move here all the time. So when we're talking about Friday night and all that in rodeo, we're looking at July, and that would be Thursday night, the 15th.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And with the cannon blast the next morning, starting fishing on Friday morning, the 16th. Of the rodeo.
Yes. Yeah. The tournament itself is going to be the 16th through the 18th.
But y'all got entertainment. So Friday night, Saturday night, entertainment.
Yes, Thursday night, Friday night, and
Thursday
Saturday
night, Friday night, Saturday
yes,
night.
And we'll probably have some music on Sunday yet as well.
Okay, let's talk about what's going on with the vendors. This is one of the things that happens when Guinness says, y'all are the biggest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament on the planet. Y'all get vendors and interest from all over the country, let alone outside the country.
Yeah, actually, we do. We have a lot of different sponsors that come to the tournament. You know, and the really great thing is we have a lot of the local sponsors that, that have been around with us for probably decades, you know, that just love to support the local environment, local sports competitions. And we also have some of the bigger boys, the bigger players that have come along through the years. And so it's great to have them down. We are going to have the sponsor tent again this year, like we've had in years past. Unfortunately, we weren't going to have last year. So we'll have them on site, you know, kind of talking about everything that they have. And
and we've got, by the way, just side note, that's where the air conditioning is, too. See, there's a genius to what the JCs do. The sponsor tent has the air conditioning. Just saying. Just saying. Also, I want to talk about what y'all do when you people say, okay, we think about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, 88th annual. We think about the rodeo, the fun, the fishing, the party. But a lot of people don't think about that this is put on by the JCs. And what y'all do year-round, you know, you're raising money through the rodeo and different events, and y'all put that money back into the local charities, local people. Kind of talk about that. I don't think a lot of people know outside of fishing what y'all do with the JCs.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we want to do good for the community, and, you know, we want people to know about it, but we're not going to brag about it.
Y'all won't do it. I had to, over the years, I've had to pry this out of you, so I'm going to do it again because the stuff y'all, first of all, let's talk about the money from the rodeo, specifically going back into kind of fish things, and then I want to talk about the community at large.
Yeah, so one of the main things is every year we have a largest donation to the University of South Alabama, which used to be the Marine Biology Department, which is now going to have a school. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a great thing for them. We're very excited to see what they're going to be able to do with having their new school. And so, you know, every year we give a large donation to them for their students, for their grad students to help them continue or further their education and further their studies to get their degrees. That's one of the large ones that we do. Amongst a bunch of others, you know, we work with the town of Dauphin Island. We talk to them about the needs that they have. Year in, year out, and we try to help them to get some of those things going on the island as well. As a lot of the local charities, each year, you know, the president from that you know year coming out, he always gets to pick a couple of ones that are near and dear to his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of go to those, you know, kind of smaller entities as well. But one of my favorites is all the proceeds that go from the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. That's one of my favorites because every year around Christmas time, we take some of the local kids from you know the Mobile area, and we take them shopping at Christmas. But we don't let them shop for themselves. We actually let them shop for their brothers, their sisters, their parents, their family members.
Y'all listen to this. This is so special, man.
And so they are able to give back and have that feeling of giving back during the holidays. And so to see the kids get excited, oh, wow, this is from my mom. I can't wait to wrap this for my brother. He's been wanting this all year.
Yeah.
That's the best time.
It's awesome. It's one of those unsung things about the JCs that I'm going to keep singing because, you know, we think about it. I mean, it's the opposite end of the year from the rodeo. It's Christmas. And it's when maybe, I mean, while this time of year y'all are top of mind aware with the rodeo coming, but people aren't thinking about that, but y'all are giving back through that program at Christmas time, and I want people to know about that. So you know, if you're everything you do for Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament tickets, buy them, and they go right back into our community and help out people.
That's correct.
It's fantastic. Okay, I got it. Before we wrap here, I want to ask you something about the when people see the t-shirt, see the front cover of the program, everything for the rodeo, there's a picture on there, right?
Yes, correct.
What's the story with the picture?
The picture is
because we'll have boats on it and fish on it and all that, and the boats have names and
yeah. So every year that's what we call the president's print.
President's print. Okay.
So the president each year, which this year the president is Ryan Schumann. The president works with a local artist to create a scene that's actually near and dear to them a lot of times. What a lot of people don't know is every little, you know, the fish or the type of boats or whatever's in the background has some significance to that individual
that
president.
Relates to the president. So you look at that, y'all, and you're seeing a story here about the president, right?
Exactly. Through their life, what's important to them, how they grew up, you know, you know, like you said, the names on the boats usually represent a family member mm-hmm. or things like that. So that's really always a fun little thing. We got some Easter eggs in there. So yeah, each year that's very specific, and they work really hard to make sure that they give the best, you know, not only it means something good to them, but also, you know, looks good for, you know, the shirts and everything.
It does, but I mean, I think people often go, oh, that's a really cool shirt. Rodeo shirt's really cool. There's some boats and cool fish on it. And that's true, but there's also that Easter egg. There's that other part of it. So maybe people will look at it more closely now, and you know that they know there's a little story goes on in that.
There's all kinds of little things in there.
All right. So tickets on sale coming up Father's Day weekend through those locations or through the website.
Correct. Yes.
And you mentioned the Fishing Chaos app as well. That's the one we use when we're fishing
you
as well.
You can register through the Fishing Chaos app. That's how we're going to do the weigh-ins at the weigh station themselves. So, it's very important if you do not buy your ticket online or through the app. If you buy it through one of our local ticket outlets physically, we still recommend you go to the app and pre-register before the tournament. It'll speed up your weigh-in process a lot.
It's like a fast pass. It's the fast pass. It's like the Disney fast pass for weigh-in. Mark, I appreciate your time. Can't wait to see y'all soon. We'll talk more about this and be seeing y'all down at the rodeo site. Awesome. I mean, can you believe that I know you can believe you do it every day. Were we 6 weeks away? Or not even?
Not long. It's just a little over a month.
Wow. All right. Mark Chambeau, VP of Publicity with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, reminder two. So our coverage of the rodeo. We're down there, of course, for the Liars Contest. And I get to be a judge again this year, which is my favorite. Just sit back, crack wise, and judge the Liars. I do some fishing on Friday morning, then do this Midday Mobile show for you live from the rodeo on Friday. Plus, we do a special two-hour outdoor show live from the rodeo site on Saturday of Big Rodeo. So that's all coming up next month. And I'm about to trap myself, Dalton. Okay, there's big announcements coming this week. Some really cool stuff coming up this week. Two big announcements that I got to wait a day. Got to wait. Maybe this time tomorrow, this time on Thursday, and then we'll roll them out. But two big, you're going to love this. So cool announcements, very cool announcements coming your way later on this week. So stay tuned. Stay tuned to Midday Mobile for that information. I just want to get this story out while I can, because this is something maybe I said flippantly in the past. Well, I mean, I believed it, but I was just like, well, maybe I didn't believe it. Maybe I was just saying it for effect. But then I see this pop up at the Washington Post. You know, I said this issue we're having with beef prices, right, and what we're doing with producers, so ranchers out there, farmers, we're not getting that much money. Trust me, when we're selling cows at market, but you turn around and see what beef costs would be, and okay, so. What's happening here? And I suggest one of my ideas was it was the consortium of the people making the fake meat, right? That we're going to try to run the prices up to run people over to that, believe me, it's not meat or whatever that stuff is. Story from the Washington Post. As grocery prices rise, alt meat. Dallas, right? Alt meat. You got alt right, alt left. Remember my failed alt centrist movement? Alt meat takes a bigger bite of Big Meat's burger. That's a heck of a headline. Said plant-based meat was having a moment before the pandemic, nabbing celebrity investors, record-setting IPOs, Whopper fast food deals, and high-end chefs who transformed pea protein into soy and soy into savory, expectation-defying deliciousness. Person's probably a fan. Said then the pandemic hit, restaurants closed, many Americans stuck at home battling anxiety and sourdough starters. Industry experts wondered whether enthusiasm for this new food category would falter and sales would flag. Would plant-based meat turn out to be a fad rather than a movement? It fleetingly looked grim. Last April, plant-based protein shipments to restaurants fell 27%, according to market research. Everything fell 27%, Washington Post, because people weren't able to go to the restaurants. But I digress. Goes on and says, however, it appears that those worries were ill-founded. Alt meat has emerged stronger than ever, much because of one thing, and that is the price. Said myriad pandemic pressures upended the pricing formulas for both traditional meat and plant-based proteins, making alt meat more competitive at the grocery store far more quickly than any expert could have predicted. Skyrocketing, y'all. And they said it could. It used to be that plant-based proteins generated a ton of hype and heady righteousness for health-oriented and environmentally focused consumers. Yet, a pound of ground Impossible Burger was still way more than double that of even the fanciest ground beef. Did you know that? Like, I did not know that because I haven't bought that. But now, it's getting, well, here it is. A pound of ground Beyond Meat is down to $5.70. Beef prices are up 3.3% from a year ago, meaning ground beef can cost between $4 a pound to $6 a pound in the marketplace right now. So they're saying that this move with the price of beef going up could make that, believe me, it's not meat stuff, more competitive in the market. I knew it. It was big alt meat all this time, trying to take away our beef from the grocery store. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. All right. Fine bombs on the way. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow morning.